This evening's scripture reading comes from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Glad to see everybody here tonight. I hope you have your Bibles with you. And if you would, first place I want you to go is Genesis chapter 1. We'll start there and then we'll work towards our scripture reading from Galatians. Genesis chapter 1. Good to see everybody out tonight. Hope you have had a good day and hope that you are ready to study this evening. Sowing and reaping. This is something that, and we've been talking about this to some extent in our Wednesday night auditorium class here in terms of atheism and evolution and things like this, but this principle of sowing and reaping starts on the first page of your Bible. You look at Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. We've talked about the fact that this initial miraculous creation set in order what we call now the laws of nature. And you notice here that God spoke these things into existence, of course. God said, and then you fill in the blank. For 6 days, God made this creation. But you notice in what we just read there in verses 11 and 12, for example, the end of verse 11, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. And for every part of that kingdom, that is true. For every part of the animal kingdom, that is true. And for the human kingdom, that is true. Its seed is in itself. And what you plant, what you sow, is what's going to grow out of the ground, or it's what you're going to reap. So you have this, what we call these physical laws of nature. This has always been true. This will always be true. What I want us to think about tonight, though, and be turning your Bibles to the book of Hosea. We'll get there in a minute. I'm going to put a few scriptures up here on the screen, and then we'll get to the book of Hosea. But turn to Hosea chapter 10 as I'm kind of running just through a couple of verses here. You have in Job chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, and this is Eliphaz speaking. This is Job's first friend to speak. He said, "Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." Now, life can teach us a lot of things. We can sit back and observe, and of course we learn from doing too. But we can watch. And Eliphaz, now you guys know, if you've read the book of Job, that his friends were not... Well, when they first got there and saw Job in his condition, you remember what they did? They sat there silent for 7 days. You read the book of Job and listen to all of their speeches and recommendations for Job, that's probably the best thing they could have done for the whole time they were there, is just sit there quietly. But what he says here, we can observe this, or perhaps we have observed this. Those that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. There is that law spiritually, not just physically, that you reap what you sow. Proverbs 11:18, "To him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward." We'll talk about that tonight. Proverbs 22 and verse 8, "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity." That word vanity, uselessness, emptiness. We'll talk about that a little bit too. Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, "For they have sown the wind." This is talking about the nation of Israel. And I want you here in the book of Hosea. A little bit of background. Hosea is a contemporary with Isaiah, about the middle of the 8th century B.C., Hosea is doing his prophetic work before the Assyrians come in and attack Samaria and attack northern Israel. And he's a prophet of warning, just like Isaiah was. His message is to call the people to repentance. If you're familiar with the book of Hosea, he and his wife Gomer are used as an object lesson for how God has been treated by Israel. For example, look at Hosea chapter 2 and verse 5. He says, "For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, that they that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink." Well, that's Hosea's wife did that to him. And again, that couple was used as an illustration for Israel's treatment of God. Look at chapter 4. We'll start in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord God has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out. That is, I think one version says, they cast off all restraint. They do whatever they want to do. Blood touches blood. It's a violent place. You get down to verse 6, the people were destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Primarily now, Hosea is dealing again with northern Israel. If you're familiar with your Old Testament geography. But it's not just northern Israel, because within 150 years or so, southern Israel or Judah is going to suffer the same fate. So we, having the Bible and knowing that, look at Hosea chapter 4, beginning in verse 15. It says, though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. And they're pictured, northern Israel and Judah are pictured as sisters, the older sister and the younger. The younger should have learned from the behavior of the older and from the consequences of the behavior of the older. Verse 16, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. There are going to be consequences to their behavior. And then Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, they have sown to the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. That's a surety of judgment. Now look at Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Here's God's message to them. Verse 9, he tells them, you've sinned, essentially, he's saying, you've sinned from the beginning. Verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled. So Israel's teaching us the lesson here, you reap what you sow. Individuals, we reap what we sow. Families, you reap what you sow. Congregations can reap what they sow. And of course, we're learning here in the book of Hosea, nations do the same. I want to spend a majority of our time in the New Testament. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. There is this idea, and this is kind of tied in with mysticism and with Far Eastern religions, this idea of karma. Essentially, and this is a very basic definition. Karma is you do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad. Now, you guys, we know by observation that that is not always true. Every time you do good, you don't get good in return. And every time you do bad, you don't get bad in return. Now, in terms of a Christian worldview, if we're talking about eternity, if you do what's right, well, you're going to get rewarded. And we've looked at some verses. Proverbs 11, 18. To him that soweth righteousness, there shall be a sure reward. And if you sow to wickedness, there's going to be an eternal reward for that too. So in a general sense, that might be true in terms of what we do here and now in view of the judgment and what's going to come after judgment. But we should never make the mistake of thinking, and I think of the book of Job, never make the mistake of thinking that if we're faithful Christians and we're doing what God would have us to do, that life is just going to be easy and move along smoothly, and we're not going to have any trouble, you know, whatever kind of trouble, personal, physical, health problems, some form of what we might refer to as persecution, you know, difficulty from our family and friends for our faith. Don't make the mistake of thinking that life is going to be easy because you're doing what God says, because it's not. And Jesus warns us about that. You see this in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 14, we should with much tribulation enter into the kingdom of heaven. I think that's Acts 14, verse 23. So we're warned of these things, of living faithfully and what the results are, but then living unfaithfully in what the results are. So we have our scripture reading. Look at verse 7, first of all. Do not be deceived. Eve was the first person deceived, wasn't she? Genesis chapter 3. Paul tells us that in 1 Timothy chapter 2. It was the woman who was deceived and not the man. Paul was concerned that the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that they would be deceived as the woman was deceived. You have that beginning in the beginning, the possibility of being deceived. You remember when Joseph's brothers were trying to decide what to do with him. You know, initially they were just going to kill him, but they were settled down a bit, you might say. But they lied to their father and they deceived him, didn't they? They brought back this coat that was torn to pieces and covered in blood. They didn't say anything to their dad, did they? They just handed him the coat. And the Bible says that he recognized that that was Joseph's coat, and they let him come to his own conclusion. They deceived him. He believed a lie. So the point being, deception is a part of the narrative of Scripture. People have been deceived from the beginning, deceived by others. But the worst kind of deception that I think we can have is self-deception. And the Scriptures talk about that. You know, we're told, for instance, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. If I'm not willing to look at myself to examine myself, I might just be self-deceived. I might think that everything's okay, but if I'm not critical of self and examining myself in light of what God's Word says, then I could be in a very dangerous place. Do not be deceived. Galatians 6 and verse 7. That's the first part of that verse. God is not mocked. I've told you this before. That word mocked in the Greek means that this is like you're standing face to face with a person and you tell them something and they turn their nose up at you. They don't want to hear it. They turn and walk away. Well, guess what you can't do to God? God is not going to be mocked. Well, what does that mean? You might not suffer immediately for turning your nose up at God's Word. There might not be an immediate repercussion for not doing what God's Word says. But look at the rest of verse 7. For whatever you sow, if mocking God is what you're sowing, that's what you're going to reap. And as I thought about that, you turn your nose up at God, or a person, just in general, a person turns his or her nose up to God, turns the other way. The Old Testament, by the way, calls that presumptuous sin. It's a high-handed sin. I think of Matthew chapter 7. So think about it this way. If you do that to God, you're going to reap what you sow. Matthew chapter 7, there are going to be people who stand before God or before Jesus in the day of judgment. And do you remember what He's going to say to them? I don't know who you are. Now, if you've sown that in your life, you turn your nose up to God and you go the other direction, that's exactly what you're going to reap, isn't it? God's going to turn His nose up at you and say, I don't know who you are. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Matthew 7, verse 23. That's something to think about, isn't it? Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you like definitions, the word corruption means destruction or ruin or decay. Now, I believe it's Proverbs 11 and verse 15 that says, the way of the transgressor is hard. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap destruction or ruin or decay or corruption. Now, we can see how that works, or we can see what's involved in this. Look back earlier to chapter 5, Galatians 5. Look at verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And I want you to think about this now. I thought about this as I was putting this together. Think about instances that you know of personally where people have been involved in these sins. Maybe it was you. Maybe it was me. And think about what was reaped, or what, if it's not repented of, what will be reaped for having sown this type of stuff. These things are manifest. They are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and then these three words in the King James, and such like. Anything comparable to what I've just said, such like, As I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not, you cannot mock God, Galatians 6 and verse 7. You cannot sow to the flesh, Galatians 6 and verse 8, and go to heaven or the kingdom of God, Galatians 5 and verse 21. You cannot live according to the flesh and not only please God, but certainly go to heaven, because you're going to reap what you sow. And so Paul lays it out for us here very clearly. You think about the consequence, and here's the thing about sin. There are certainly temporal consequences of sin. And what I mean by temporal is it could be immediate. It could be a few days down the road, a few months or years. But there are always consequences to sin. But you can bet however long you have to wait, there will certainly be consequences at the end, won't there? In terms of judgment. They who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, look at the rest of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So notice the contrast. Corruption, life everlasting. Jesus tells us in John chapter 5 and verses 28 and 29 that there's a day coming that when all who are in the graves shall hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And I think that's what we're talking about here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. Well, what does it mean if you sow to the Spirit? Go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You look at the stark contrast, as we say, between the works of the flesh and what those things can lead to. And I've seen it, and I know you guys have seen this too. Think about what those things in verses 19 through 21 lead people into right here and now. And lead their families into the trouble, the division, what can become resentment and hatefulness and bitterness. Because somebody in the family or somebody in a congregation, let's say, has decided to sow to the flesh. They reap things immediately. But then think about, and especially the way Paul says it at the end of verse 23, against such there is no law. This is how you want to live. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Look at verse 24. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Keep your finger here, and let's go to Matthew chapter 16 just for a second. Matthew chapter 16. I was messaging with somebody here a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about sermon ideas, and actually I was messaging with several people, but one person messaged me back and said something along the lines of, we need to have a sermon on knowing better, but going ahead and doing something anyway. Think back to Hosea. The main problem that we're told there in the book of Hosea is, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. When it comes to sin, we should know better, shouldn't we? We have access to God's mind every day. You're holding it in your hand. We know what God says. We should know better. But sometimes we go our own way. Matthew 16. And I'm reading this in light of what we just read in Galatians 5:24. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. Look at Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If you're going to maintain your standard of living, your own conduct based on your own terms, you're going to reap what you've sown. And whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. If you're willing to put yourself to death, to crucify your own will and follow Him, there's a reward for that. Back to Galatians 5, verse 24. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, now Paul's been talking about, I want to say this about the book of Galatians real quick. Galatians is extremely similar to the book of Romans. It's like the first half is very, very doctrinal, very detailed about a lot of things. That's Galatians 1 through 4. Galatians 5 and 6 is down-to-earth, practical, day-to-day Christianity. If we live in the Spirit, Paul's talked about that throughout the book of Galatians, what that means. The way that you and I live in the Spirit, and as he says, walk in the Spirit in verse 25, is to follow the Spirit's dictates. We do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. We follow Scripture. We sow to the Spirit, and you reap everlasting life. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, brethren. If any of you be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. And you consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what it means. That's part of what it means to walk in the Spirit, is to be considerate of one another and sowing things to the Spirit and not to the works of the flesh, as is laid out in the previous verses. Go back to our scripture reading, Galatians 6. We've read verses 7 and 8. Now look at verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Well, the well-doing is our sowing, the way we conduct ourselves. There are a lot of different things that we could talk about in connection with sowing and reaping. And I guess here's where I want to end. Take your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I don't have this up here, but it was something I thought about as I was sitting up here and listening to the Scripture and thinking about the sermon. We've talked about tonight just simply sowing to the flesh versus sowing to the Spirit and the corruption that comes with sowing to the flesh, the reward that comes to sowing with the Spirit. One thing that you and I should never forget, we have all those individual responsibilities that I was just talking about, but we also have the responsibility of being seed sowers, don't we? Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, for instance, tells me that the seed is the Word of God. And Paul talks about this principle here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice what he says beginning in verse 11 here. He says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, and he talks about different types of material that you can use in a structure, gold, silver, precious stones. But then he mentions these, wood, hay, and stubble. He's talking about the work of the church here. So follow this language. You've got those six things, six elements, let's say, of a structure. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Think about gold, silver, and precious stones, as opposed to wood, hay, and stubble being burned up. Which is going to survive? Well, it's the valuable stuff. It's the good stuff, we might say. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, he says at the end of verse 13. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. He's taking a long view here of what we are doing now, and then in view of judgment that's coming, the fire that's... Our God is a consuming fire, the book of Hebrews tells us. Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 28. And we're going to stand before God in judgment. That's what we're dealing with here. So verse 14 again, if any man's work abide, if it remains through the judgment, well, you're going to receive a reward for what you've done. You're going to reap what you've sown. If any man's work shall be burned, the wood, hay, and the stubble, you've scattered the seed. Maybe you've been rejected. You've tried to teach somebody the gospel. They won't listen. Maybe you've taught somebody the gospel. They've listened, they've obeyed, and like the parable of the sower, maybe they get choked out by the cares and pleasures and riches of this life. You've still done your job, haven't you? You have done what you were supposed to do, which is sow the seed. So that's what verse 15 is saying. If any man's work shall be burned, he's going to suffer loss. That person who's heard and should have obeyed will be lost, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You reap what you sow. Now again, in terms of, let's say morality, Galatians 5. Sow to the flesh, reap corruption. Sow to the Spirit, reap life everlasting. But I think we need to make this principle, this illustration of sowing and reaping practical with our one of our works as Christians, and that is sowing the seed. The seed's the Word of God. There are going to be good responses. There are going to be not so good responses. But so long as we are sowing to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And not everything's going to stick around. Verse 15 tells us that. Some of our work is going to be burned up as we sow the seed. But we've done what God has told us to do. We're sowing to the Spirit, and if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's hopeful to me. You know, and the reason it's hopeful to me is because God has not given us to do things that we cannot do. He doesn't require of us more than we are capable. We're to sow to the Spirit, and He tells us what that looks like. We're to sow the Word, and we know what that looks like. And we can do that. But we have to be sure that we are, as Galatians 6, 7 says, that we are not deceiving ourselves. That we're not fooling ourselves into thinking that we are when maybe in reality we're not. Are we sowing to the Spirit on a daily basis? I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to think about your role in this local body, your role in your family, your role in your community. What kind of seeds are you sowing? And what will you reap when you have to face the fire that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Again, it's hopeful because we're told time and time again that we can endure through the fire. We can approach God without fear. We can come to His throne boldly, Hebrews chapter 4. And I know that's talking about judgment, but the same principle stands true. We can be right. We can be right with God. We can do what pleases Him, and we can, of the Spirit, reap life everlasting. You may be here tonight as a person who has not yet put Christ on in baptism. The book of Galatians talks about that. If you've not yet obeyed the gospel, then you're not yet sowing to the Spirit. You're still sowing to the flesh. We want to encourage you to change your direction, to start sowing to the Spirit so you may of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If we can help you in your desire to obey the gospel, don't hesitate to ask. Maybe you're here tonight and you've done that in the past and you've not remained faithful, and you know that. You know what condition you're in spiritually. But if you're not faithful, if you're not serving God the way you know you ought to be, then you are sowing to the flesh. And you will of the flesh reap corruption. If you need to respond to the gospel tonight in any way, why don't you let us know as we stand and sing.